From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. A little later on in the program, ORNL scientists are shaking up the way you do your laundry. But first, earlier this month, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft reached the pinnacle of its 9-year voyage to Pluto and its 5 moons. The probe snapped photos and took lots of measurements during its quick flyby, and now the results are being transmitted back to Earth. Josh Emery is a planetary scientist at the University of Tennessee, and his specialty is small, icy bodies, such as Pluto. He says the few pictures that have been sent back so far are already rewriting our impressions of Pluto and similar objects.
So I think there were sort of two general areas of really interesting, not fully expected results. One is the clear indications of geologic activity, recent geologic activity, on both Pluto and its largest moon, Charon. And Charon is particularly surprising. It's small, and we didn't expect geologic activity on that moon. And then the second area that's interesting is Pluto's atmosphere. Pluto has a really thin atmosphere, but the team just announced last Friday some really interesting results about Pluto's atmosphere.
Well, what were those results? What is surprising about the atmosphere?
So the one of the big surprising things is that it's about half as dense as it was previously measured to be. So the last measurement from the Earth, we measure the density of Pluto's atmosphere when Pluto passes in front of a star. We can measure how the starlight dims as it gets close to Pluto. And so from that, get a pretty good calculation of the atmospheric density. New Horizons did a better job being closer, and it found a density that's about half what we last calculated. So Pluto has half as much atmosphere as it did 2 years ago. There's no problem with the previous calculations. It's really that Pluto's atmosphere is thinning out, possibly freezing to the surface as Pluto moves further away from the sun.
That is fascinating. And so are the other results that we're talking about with things like ice mountains that are about more than 10,000 feet high, I think, and evidence, as you said, of recent geologic activity on both of these worlds, Pluto and Charon. But we don't have all the data yet, because even though the flyby took place on the 14th of July, it's going to take quite a while for us to download all the pictures and all the other data that the spacecraft collected when it flew by.
That's right. So New Horizons is really far away. So all the data are sent back through radio signals, and the intensity of that signal is really low, so the data rates are much, much slower even than an old dial-up modem used to be, a really slow data rate. So it's going to be 16 months before all of the data come back to Earth.
Based on these initial photographs and some of the other data that have been sent back, at like infrared data and looking at some other chemical signatures on Pluto, what are some of the questions that have been raised in your mind as a result of seeing some of this early data?
One of them has to do with the heat source for geologic activity. All geologic activity is driven by heat trying to escape from the interior. We have plate tectonics on Earth, volcanoes, everything, because there's the interior of the Earth is hot and that heat's trying to get out. Smaller bodies like Pluto and Charon should have cooled off completely over the age of the solar system. So in that sense, we wouldn't expect there to be any heat in the interior to be escaping. But both of these bodies show these signs, canyons and recent flows of ices. So one of the big questions is just how these small bodies can support such geologic activity after 4.5 billion years.
All right, we'll be looking forward over the next 16 months to getting all these data back and pictures, many more pictures, I'm sure, that hopefully will shed a lot more light on this. Dr. Josh Emery, always a pleasure, and we'll have you back then to talk more about what we're learning about Pluto.
Oh, well, thank you. I look forward to it.
The clothes dryer inside your home uses heat to dry your clothes. Now, that process is very energy intensive, and it can take a long time. But a new project underway at Oak Ridge National Laboratory aims to change all that. WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper has this look at what's called the Good Vibrations clothes dryer.
Ayub Momay is a mechanical and aerospace engineer at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. He's partnering with GE appliance researchers to work on this new project.
Whereas in this novel technology, we are using vigorous vibration to mechanically extract the water and actually dry the fabric.
This is the first time that scientists are attempting to dry clothes with ultrasonic vibration, or what's called piezoelectricity. Certain materials generate an electric charge when they're subjected to mechanical stress. In this case, ceramic discs are the transducers. Here's how it works. Electricity is applied to the ceramic discs.
When you apply voltage, they will expand, and when you remove the voltage, they will contract. So if you do it at high frequency, they will expand and contract very fast. And if you put something in contact with that, especially if it has water into it, you are gonna atomize water and remove the moisture from the fabric in this case.
Then air will pass through, collecting the water vapor in a mesh at the back of the clothes dryer. Mome says they're testing half-inch ceramics up to 2 or 3 inch ceramics to see which ones work best for drying clothes. They should have an answer before the end of the year.
We were amazed when we saw the first time how good these transducers can dry fabric. When we put very small piece of completely wet fabric on these transducers, the fabric dried within just 14 seconds.
Mome says they've done preliminary studies on the energy usage of this technology.
There is potential to reduce the energy usage or consumption of a clothes dryer by the factor of 4 or 5. So the bill of your electricity for the clothes dryer will be 1/5 of what you were used to pay.
And he says that could be a game changer for energy savings.
Because almost 1% of the United States energy goes to the clothes dryers only. That is a huge number for one single technology.
Mome's team is currently putting together a prototype about the same size as a conventional clothes dryer, and that should be up and running by next August. For The Method, I'm Chrissy Kuiper, WUOT News.
I do wonder if those clothes will feel quite as warm and toasty and comforting when they come out of that new dryer as they do out of the current ones. Well, that does it for this edition of The Method. Listen to all of our past shows online at WUOT.org and subscribe to our new podcast feed in iTunes. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.